Everybody, welcome to Buffy Speak.
Hello.
It's a beautiful Sunday morning. It is, let's see, a balmy 63 degrees. Mm-hmm. I made that up. I don't really know. No. I gotta be honest. Let's see. I just made that up. You said it's cold there, though, right?
Yeah, it is.
We're shivering our way. Oh. You need a space heater.
What'd you say?
Get a space heater.
I should get a space heater. Yeah, it's just, you know, the entire South is suffering.
It's dreary, for sure. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's do.
It's 55 in San Francisco right now.
Oh, it's 55.
Life update. Caroline.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Drove across the country. Halfway across the country, I would say.
Yeah. But that's the thing when you're moving from Texas, that everywhere is halfway.
Yeah.
It's a central state. Yes. Yeah, I'm here in Oakland. I got here on Wednesday. And I'll be starting a new job on Monday at Adobe. So if y'all ever... I'm doing customer support at Adobe. So if you ever call in, please be nice because it might be me.
I would call in just to hear your voice.
Oh, that's sweet. That's
like,
so
I don't
sweet.
I don't do that enough.
No, my boss is going to come up to me and be like, Caroline, your friend is calling again. You're going to be clogging up all the lines. Yeah, we've been in very transitory states recently. Just yes. In general.
That's mostly why we haven't had the time or energy... Yeah. To record, partly because the world is on fire, partly because we are both in transitory is a very good way to phrase it. We're both changes, you know.
It's fine. The people don't care.
Changes.
It's fine. They're going to be cool. But they did come here for some Buffy, so we might as well... Jump the fuck in.
I love this episode.
Okay. If you say so.
I don't think it would rate in my top 10.
Okay. But you enjoyed watching it.
For sure. But I think mainly what I like about it is the last scene. Surprise! because... I think it's very poetic and heartbreaking and sad and also I just think the rest of the episode, they're doing a good job of, building everything, leading us towards where the show is going.
Okay, maybe that's another reason that it landed a little flat for me. Everything except for Spike, because Spike clearly has... a lot going on right now, to say the least. Mm-hmm. But yeah, everything else I was just kind of like, okay. I don't want Anya to go back to being a vengeance demon. I've said this before, I think that's dumb to go circular. But I guess it's not what they're doing. They're having her try to go back to it, but she's not being good at it. And also she had to undo the wish. So...
She did, at the worst possible
So is
time.
This not going the way that I think it's going? Am
Honestly,
I assuming incorrectly?
I don't
remember. Okay, that's comforting.
Because, this part of the season is a little fuzzy to me. There are some parts that are not fuzzy. There's, like, this season, as I'm sure you can already tell by the first two episodes, has a lot of Spike and Buffy. And that's really what sticks out to me.
Yeah, no, it's definitely the most interesting thing that's going on at the moment. By far, actually, like a comic amount. But I don't know. I wish we could just do the Spike and Buffy thing and, like, just go for it and all in one go. But, unfortunately, we have to... Oh, wait. I had something I wanted to bring
up. Oh, yes,
please. Do we have to start at the beginning? I guess not. Do we do this every time?
No.
I want to talk about Giles and Willow. Because okay. There's just a brief... I think it's a good place to start because I think it's just, like, a brief moment that is, I don't know. Just the vibe. God, their relationship has changed completely.
Yeah.
You know? And so quickly. And, like, Giles just seems to have this, like, instant forgiveness for her. Mm-hmm. And I'm just, like, not super sure where it's coming from. I mean, like, is this... I'm trying to think of, like, evidence that we have that this is how he'd react. I mean, he was furious at her. The last time they saw each other when she wasn't all black-haired and veiny.
Yes.
So, but then he sees her and she's gone fucking crazy and she's trying to ruin the world. Mm-hmm. And then she tries to kill him. And then the next time they see each other, it's all very died down and it's all very, oh, well, Willow, we all learn our lessons the hard way and this and that. And I'm just wondering, like, where this is coming from. Like, why he's not being hard. Is she just being hard enough on herself? Is he just evaluating the situation?
Mm. I think that's a good point. I think that might be part of it, is that he sees how down on herself she's being. And he's like, well, yeah, I mean, like, you did really mess up. And that's fair. Like, you know, bad. But also, like, you're trying to be better, and that, like, that's more than can be said for, like, so many people.
For a lot of people. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Who, like, commit, like, you know, bad things, or, like, you know, they might not be sorry or whatever, and she clearly feels horrible about it.
Yeah.
And also, it reminds me of the quote that he says it to Buffy, and I can't remember if it's about her or if it's about Angel or something like that.
It's she sleeps with Angel.
He says forgiveness. Well, yeah. When she sleeps with Angel, and he's like, if it's judgment or something you were looking for, I'm not your man. All you'll get from me is my support and my respect. That's one of my favorite scenes. But also, he says it to her about someone. He says forgiveness isn't given because they need it. Or because
they deserve it.
It's because they need it.
Yeah, and like, and you need it too, like, as the forgiver.
To forgive is an act of compassion, Buffy. It's not done because people deserve it. It's done because they need it.
Okay, yeah.
So, I think he's always kind of had this, mature view of forgiveness and, like, growth and stuff like that.
Yeah, righting wrongs.
Yeah, and I think that he can tell, I think that's one of his things, is that he can tell, because he's an adult, and, you know, you kind of gain this perspective with age, I feel, but he can tell when someone, like, actually means it. When someone actually means, like, they're sorry or whatever.
Right. Yeah, I mean, at a certain point, there's nothing that anybody can do except prove that they're going to change, and Willow obviously is, you know? And also, mm-hmm. he's been there, too, where it's just, like, supreme fuck-up after supreme fuck-up, and raising demons, and this and that, and he's a different person, too, so... Sure.
Sure.
I kind of liked it when they were fighting. I thought it was fun. I thought it was a good point of tension, but I understand that, like, that can only go on for so long, and they're obviously taking this season in such a different direction, or they're bringing it home is all.
Well, I think that, I mean, like, watching it through this lens and, like, watching it through, like, a critical lens, I think, is a lot of fun because it shows me, like, the themes, I think, of the separate seasons, because I think that, you know, whether or not they do a good job with it sometimes or not, I think that each season does have, like, a very specific individual theme, and I think this season's theme is forgiveness. I think that there's a lot of, I think it's, like, power and forgiveness. And I think that those can, like, kind of feed into each other a little bit.
Right, and, like, and the conclusion of both of them, you know? Like, the fact, like, who really has the power at the end of the day? And, like,
yeah.
Who are these people at the end of the day? I get it. I'm with it. Mm-hmm. I'm on board.
Yay, I'm glad. So, that's... It's nice. It's nice to see that kind of thing. I, like... I don't know. I'm very excited for this season to... Because there's some... I say this so much, and I can't say any of it without spoiling anything, but, like, there are some parts of season 7 that I really, really, really love, and there are some parts that I think are so bad, and so dumb and stupid, and I don't understand the point of the writing, but we aren't there yet. So this episode opens with, like, have you ever seen the movie Run Lola Run?
No, I haven't.
It's a German movie.
Okay.
And it is about a girl who her boyfriend is, like, in trouble with, like, the mob or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he has to steal $100,000. And so...
And Lola helps him?
Yeah, well, the movie takes place, like, it plays out three different ways. And, each of the first two ways, she dies, and then the last way, or she doesn't die. The first way she dies, the second way he dies, and the third way they both live. But the, opening of this episode is, like, a direct callback, or I guess an homage, whatever. Not a callback, because it didn't happen within this universe, but
I'm voting for homage.
An homage to uh-huh. Run Lola Run, because hold on, let me I'll text you the
link
poster, because oh, okay. She looks the German girl that's running from the hooded guys, remember
the cloaked
them?
Figures
remember them from Turkey?
Oh man, do I ever.
Oh
wow, okay,
so the hooded guys are chasing another girl, and we don't know why, but this one's in Germany.
Yeah, and it's just another, like, badass girl who, like, is fighting for her life and climbing over walls and this and that, and she puts up a really good fight, and you think that it's the same thing as last time, where, like, you think she's done it, and then she gets caught.
And then they stab her.
Stabbed.
And she looks into the camera, and she says, in, like, what is clearly not her voice, from beneath you, it devours. Which is the first instance of that we've heard in this season.
Right.
But we hear it a lot in this episode. So, Buffy wakes up. It was a dream, but it was probably a Slayer dream, based on, you know, everything that we know about the show.
Oh, yeah. Obviously.
And Dawn is like, and so...
Dawn's good this episode.
She is. Buffy
Dawn's
screams.
Very good. Yeah.
Buffy screams because she had a scary dream. And Buffy's like, and Dawn is like, Buffy, wake up. And she's like, what? I heard a scream. And Dawn goes, that was you.
And then she goes, there was a girl. And Dawn goes, that would be me.
Yeah.
She's so good.
But then Buffy's like, Buffy knows better. And she's like, she's just one of the girls. There's more out there like her, and they're all gonna die.
So, our questions here are, what is it about these women's that being... Okay, who are the hooded figures, right? Yeah. What is it about these women that is making the hooded figures target them?
Mm-hmm.
And how does that relate to Buffy?
Yes.
Okay. We're on the same page.
Yes. So, that's, like, the opening of the episode. And
there's an earthquake.
Yeah. And so she's like, oh, yeah, from beneath you it devours. What does it mean? Whatever. And then we cut to another woman walking her dog. And the ground is shaking. And she's like, huh? And then...
What? Nuh-uh. That's... That's way later. Because the first because the first earthquake happens, and Spike is still in the school basement. And starts freaking out, being like, get out of here, get out. Yeah, he is trying to eat a rat, definitely. That is, you know, it's not one of his finer moments, but it's not his worst. I'll give him that. Nope. So, he starts losing it. And then the next morning, or no, it is morning, I guess, because Dawn just woke Buffy up. But then Buffy and Xander are going with Dawn to school because Xander is doing the construction at the school and Buffy is now a guidance counselor. Uh-huh. And they're on the way there, and Xander's being all pouty because Anya's moved on. Guess what? It's been almost a season now, and nobody cares. So, and Buffy on her first day. So she has, like, a skeptical conversation with Principal Wood?
Wood.
Okay, Principal Wood. And Robin Wood. Good for him. But he's, like, talking to her, and she's like, why do I have this job? And he, like, gives her some bullshit answers, and he's like, why? Is there something about you that I should know? And I'm like, what is this dude's deal? He obviously knows, right, that she's a Slayer.
Mm, I don't know.
I mean, if he did all that research on her and looked all in her file, does he see that she won Class Protector of the Class of 1999?
Probably.
Does... Yeah, like, what else does it say? Like, what do the kids have written down in there? Hey, where are Jonathan and Andrew? Mexico?
Yeah, they're still in Mexico.
Okay, sorry, I forgot for a second. But,
I think they come back the next episode. Sorry to spoil, but I love Andrew so much.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to see him. Yeah, so the principal is like, no, we just want you here because you're cool. And Buffy's like, okay.
They're young. Right. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Buffy's which like, can sometimes okay.
Backfire.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I feel like if you're a 16-year-old and they tell you to go to a counselor and the counselor's 21, you're like, you're a baby too.
That's not how I felt when I was in high school. No, not at all.
I don't think it's how I felt either.
Not at all. We had one teacher who. God, this is a whole long story. You might remember this, Beth. We were friends when this was happening. But, like, we had this one teacher who was 22, and he was very cool. And like, we definitely wanted to be his friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a creep, which is unfortunate for, you know, all of the children that he manipulated during his reign of power. But yeah, like, no, I was definitely like, oh my god, you're so cool.
Was he? I don't remember this.
You don't remember this?
Was he
a coach? Huh?
Was he a coach?
No, he wasn't a coach. Listen, I'll talk to you about it when...
Yeah,
it's a very long story. No, it's not a secret or anything. It's just a very long story that people do not come here for. but anyway... I was definitely like, oh my god, this is my new best friend, and how cool is it that we have this? Mm-hmm. Because, like, 22-year-olds, when you're 16, you're like, oh, that's a grown-ass person.
Yeah, and they have a job, and they pay bills.
Right.
Wow.
They can drive a car. It took me a while to get my license, but, yeah, no, I was down with it. Dude, me and Buffy, I would have thought Buffy was so fucking cool when I was in high school.
I think I would too, honestly, especially since she was a girl.
Yeah.
I could probably be like, let me talk to you about. I didn't have many boy troubles in school because I basically only had a crush on two people all through high school, and spoiler alert, neither of them worked out. But I probably would have just been like, I hate my.
Yeah, every high schooler has something to cry about. I loved crying about my problems.
Mm-hmm.
I still do.
That would have been nice to have somebody.
Yeah.
I guess who was closer to my age.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though. Buffy doesn't even start working. She's like, okay, great, I can't wait to get started on my first day. And then she goes down to the basement. And she's looking for Spike, and Spike's not there. But we just saw him there. So it's like, okay, but where's Spike?
Where'd he go?
Yeah. So then there's that whole scene with Giles comforting Willow. Willow is going home, which will be interesting.
Yeah, she doesn't want to go home, which is, I understand.
Well, because she's like, oh, everybody's going to be mad, and they're going to be like, oh, Willow, you're back. Are you going to try to kill the planet again? You, yeah. Like, I mean, she's expecting very real consequences from her actions. Right?
Yeah,
I have no sympathy, and I don't care, honestly. I'm interested. I'm interested into seeing, like, what's going to happen, but I'm not sorry for her.
Giles is basically like, he's like, if you wait, you know, if you go today or if you go in 2 years, either way, this is like, reality is going to come crashing down on you.
Right.
So,
that's a good
point.
Which
one do you want it to be?
Uh-huh. Then the woman is walking her dog and she has a stupid, stupid Yorkie. And the Yorkie is sniffing the ground and she's like, I hate my dog. I hate Nancy.
I don't like her either, and I wish she would have died.
I don't know if I wish she would have died, but I sure hope she never comes back, but I know she probably will. What?
She's boring.
Oh, I thought you said she's glory, and I was like, excuse me?
Oh my gosh, what a plot twist of the century.
No, I was like, what the fuck? I was like, how did you get that? I was like, anyway, does she come back, or was this it?
No, oh no, this is the last you see of Nancy.
Oh, goodness,
alright. Thank the Lord.
High and by, Nancy. So, Nancy is walking her stupid fucking Yorkie, and then the Yorkie falls through the Earth.
Yes.
Which is, I'll give her this, I would not like to happen to my dog if I was walking my dog. That's a bummer. And then she's holding onto the leash, and then she gets pulled, and her arm goes down into the hole, and I guess she lets go of the leash. I certainly would.
She's like, nah, this is my out.
She said, finally, I've been trying to get rid of, what was his name? Rocky? I've been trying to get rid of Rocky.
I don't even remember.
It was Rocky. I'm 100% positive, actually. but, yeah, and then she turns around and she's running away. Because she's like, oh no, it's going to eat me next. And she runs into Xander. Literally and physically.
And Xander is thirsty, so.
Yeah, Xander's so thirsty. Because his ex is all hot again with her flippy hair. Although, mm-hmm. I liked it blonde the best. I think the blonde is the best.
I do, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know.
I just like it better. The dark brown is just, because, like, when you meet Anya, it's kind of like a light brown, I think.
Okay.
This dark brown is, I don't know. I prefer the blonde, too. I think she looks best
Good.
With the blonde.
This is a pro-blonde Anya podcast, officially. You heard it here first, folks. All right. So then, okay, so they go to Buffy, and she's telling Buffy about what she saw. And then Spike shows up, and he's wearing a very elegant blue sweater.
He looks so good.
It really brings out his eyes, and it's tight enough to where you can still see those Vs on his hip. So he's really he's dressed for success. Yes. And he comes to the little meeting, and he's like, what's up? How can I help? I haven't been in a basement this whole time. And Buffy's like, I want you to get out of here. But he's like, we can talk privately, or we can talk in front of everybody. And Buffy says, go ahead, let's talk in front of everybody. And then that goes south pretty quickly. So then they go off by their own. And, yeah, she's like, what does she say? She says, don't start with I'm sorry.
Yeah, and
she's something
like,
else.
Here to say I'm sorry, like, don't.
Right.
And he's like, I'm not here to say I'm sorry. I just, like, he's like, basically, he's like, I'm here to warn you. Like, something's going down.
I don't think he's warning her. Because he knows, when all is said and done about Spike, I think he's one of the few people that understands Buffy. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah. Yes, absolutely agree.
There are other, he's not the only person, but he's one of them. And
one of the few.
Yeah, and so he shows up and he's like, hey, I know you, and I know that you're definitely keeping this a secret from everybody else, but I already know, so you don't have to keep it a secret from me. The secret meaning the fact that the Earth is shaking and shattering and Yorkies are going missing by the minute. But the Yorkie thing isn't even related to the Hellmouth thing. Or the... No.
from beneath
their powers. They're gonna think that it is. They're gonna be like, oh, yeah, I was feeling all those earthquakes last episode, but that was just Ronnie the fucking worm, which was also
Ronnie the worm, our best friend.
It was just Ronnie the worm, and then they're gonna keep coming, and they're gonna be like, Ronnie? And it's not gonna be Ronnie. It's gonna be an even bigger worm from hell. Probably. They can really only make a few different shaped monsters on this show.
Ronnie looked so bad.
Ronnie looked exactly like everything else that's come out of the ground in Sunnydale.
It's so true!
Not out of a grave, necessarily, but, like, straight up out of the ground.
Yeah.
Typical Sunnydale like worm monster. Like, just like the mayor. I was trying to explain, my aunt was in the living room with me last night, because I'm staying at her place, and, well, we're roommates now, so it's our place, I suppose. Woo. But, she was like, I was watching it last night, and I was like, okay, so here they're opening the new school because the last school got destroyed because the mayor sold his soul and turned into a big snake. And she was like, got it, let's go. And we watched it. But yeah, when you're trying to explain the things that have happened in this show to somebody who does not watch this show, mm-hmm. it is a very, my aunt's laughing right now. it's a very interesting experience.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
To say the very least. I didn't even get into the whole Glory thing. Oh yeah, I had to explain who Dawn was. I still don't think she gets it, but... yeah, I was like, yes, she used to be a ball of energy, but then the monks were like... And it went okay. It went okay. She got through the episode. I'll give her that. But yeah, so Blue Sweater Spike, he's all like, I know you know, and you know that I know, so let's talk about what we know. And, and Buffy's like, man, I don't know, but I'm glad to have a buddy, because, I mean, like, because it's the
Xander's
same.
Xander's acting like an idiot, and yeah, Anya's a demon again.
Anya's a demon again. Dawn's just too young, and Spike's been around for millennia, and, millennia? Centuries?
No, 100 years. Or, no, more than 100, like,
centuries. Let's say centuries.
Yeah.
Few hundred. So he's been around for a few centuries, and he, like, he knows the demons, and he knows, like, fucking supernatural patterns of this, all this bullshit. And he's useful, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Giles isn't there. So Spike's all we've got. So, so Buffy, she's like, all right, well, we need to go find it. And she's like, Xander, take Nancy home. Spike and I will go check it out, and Dawn's like, okay, I'm Command Central, everybody check in with me, and then she goes, just kidding, I'll be doing my homework, but the first one sounded cooler.
Yeah.
And, Michelle Trachtenberg does a really good line, or a really good job with shitty lines.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they kind of play Dawn a little younger than she is?
Yeah.
If you know what I mean? But that's, I mean, like, Dawn's, they just make her goofy a little bit, which I like. And which the show needs a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Ugh, a lot of the time.
You know, I miss Cordelia.
Yeah. Yeah, I do miss Cordelia. How would she even fit into all this, though?
That's the point,
she would have fucking
like
bailed.
Yeah, I mean, she's, like, doing her own, being an angel. She's, like...
Yeah, getting pregnant and killed off.
She's a god, I think, an angel right now.
Are you joking?
No, she's a goddess.
Like Glory?
Yeah, but not
that. Oh my god.
I think she's like a... Because she... So the way I understand it is that she was psychic. Like, the powers that be.
She was psychic.
Which Angel deals a lot with, quote, the powers that be, which is kind of like, they're the people that, like, determine fates. They're kind of like God. Like,
okay.
How we understand God.
Yes.
But they're, like a council, I guess.
Okay.
So the powers that be gave her psychic abilities.
Psychicism, yes, I'm familiar.
and then I don't know how it shook out, but then she became a goddess.
Well, you know,
because
good for her.
Visions or something.
She's been training for that role for quite some time.
Yeah, for real. Like, if anybody's going to be a goddess on this show, it's got to be Cordelia. Like,
oh,
no one else.
Obviously.
Yeah, so,
obviously.
But, yeah, so...
Oh, Spike, but then as they're on their way out.
Oh, she has such a good line.
Dawn, Spike's the last one, and Dawn goes, hey, Spike, if you touch my sister, no. Oh, she goes, no. You sleep, right? Hey, what are you knocking stuff over for? she's like, hey, Spike, you sleep, right? And he goes, I don't know, he says something snarky, and she goes, yeah, but he's vampires. Like, yeah, she's like, vampires sleep, right? And he goes, yes. And she goes, I know that I won't be able to take you in a fight, but if you touch my sister, you'll wake up on fire.
Yeah.
And he turns and walks away.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting moment for a lot of different reasons. One, because Spike used to take care of Dawn whenever Buffy was dead, which is also part of the reason that Dawn developed a stealing problem whenever Buffy came back from the dead. Mm-hmm. But because Spike is not a good influence, I would say. But, yeah, she just used to be so fond of him, and she used to stand up for him to everybody, and this is just, like, one of the many instances in this episode and the past couple of episodes where every single character has been, like, anti-Spike. Like, what he did is unforgivable.
Unforgivable!
Unforgivable.
If you're
Sailor Moon. Oh, yeah, and then whenever... Dude, okay, Xander... So you know how I was saying that Michelle Trachtenberg is good with lines that are a little bit difficult?
Uh-huh.
Nicholas Brendan is not. he has one delivery style. And if the line does not fall under that delivery style, it is still done in that delivery style and therefore does not work. It sounds terrible.
Yes.
So the instance that I'm talking about is Buffy comes back and she's like, okay, Xander, you take Nancy home. Spike and I are going to go check out whatever's causing these earthquakes. And Xander pulls her aside and goes, Buffy, he tried to rape you. And he says it like that. First, as if Buffy doesn't know. First of all. And that's definitely the undertone here. Like, hey, have you forgotten what happened? Which is obviously going to be a no. And just, it's, oh my god, it's so fucking entitled. I couldn't stand it. It's just like, okay, but I don't think we should do this, so we're not going to. As if Buffy hasn't been calling the shots for the past 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't know who he thinks he is sometimes.
Yeah.
He's, like, not on the same page as me, mm-hmm. for sure, and most of the other people in the show. But Buffy's like, well, he tried to, he didn't. I can take him. Yeah. And plus, she can tell that something's weird with Spike right now. And so they just, like, do whatever she says, like always. And, and then there's that moment where Dawn says she's going to light him up on fire. Then they go, and they're checking out the earthquakes. And Spike's like, when did your sister get unbelievably scary? Yeah. And I'm like, when you hit rock bottom. That's when.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's exactly when. But, so they, like, kind of walk around, and Spike is just, I don't know, on his best behavior, I guess.
Yeah, he's like, you know, he keeps saying, I'm just here, I want, you know,
I'm just here to help. Used. Yeah. He says, like, use me whatever way you
can. I don't want anything from you. Blah, 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 blah.
I still don't trust him.
You don't trust him?
No, I'm not supposed to yet, am I?
Not really, I guess.
I still have a lot of questions about what's going on his side of the fence, you know? Mm-hmm. And, because, I mean, I guess Anya figures it out when she's talking to him at the end of the...
Oh, I love that scene.
...episode when she goes, how'd you get it back? She's looking in his eyes and she can tell. But...
The acting there, Emma Caulfield, I think, does a really good job. She's like, oh my god!
Yeah.
And Spike's like, what? And she's like, how did you do it?
Yeah.
And it's so... Because, like, at first you're like, what? Why? Why are you doing this?
Right.
But then you're like, she knows. Right. How does she know? And, I mean, she knows because she's a demon now. And I guess they just have a sense for that kind of thing. But
Anya's older than he is.
Oh, yeah. By thousands of years.
Yeah. So she's been around the block a couple times.
For sure.
And Buffy can tell, too. That's what he says. He's like, I just want to be used. I just want to be helpful. He says, I've changed. You know, can't you tell? And she says, no, I can tell. And then he's still, like, digging around in a hole. And she goes, I just don't know what you've changed into. And I was like, yeah. Oh, fuck. Get him. Get him, Buffy.
Get him.
But then he turns and he hands her a flashlight and she brushes his hand and gets triggered and remembered his aggressions from the past.
Yes.
And she, like, kind of flinches away. And he's like, anyway, the worm's gone. And she's like, great. And that's the end of that. Yeah. Xander takes Nancy home. She asks him out. Nobody fucking cares at all.
Nobody cares.
Nobody anywhere cares. But she does. And then the worm chases him because Ronnie is jealous. He's a jealous worm. And the worm starts chasing them. And then it, like, peeks through and they see the big fucking thing. And then she starts telling Xander, like, what the past few days have been like, and she mentions the word wish, and Xander very quickly pieces it together that she has talked to Anya. And, they take her to Anya, yeah. And they meet back up with Spike and Buffy, and they go see Anya. She's at the Bronze. She's trying to work some more. And Xander's like, is this the one you talk to? And she's like, yeah, of course. And I'm like, Nancy, you dumb bitch.
Nancy, you
why are you here? and
also, I just don't like the actress's delivery of all of the...
No.
She's like, so you're... It's so dumb. It's so dumb, Caroline. It's like, so, you know, this is, you know, Spike comes in and she's like, who is this? And Buffy's like, it's my, and Xander's like, ex.
Right.
And so Nancy's like, okay, whatever, whatever, sure, fine. Then Anya's there and she's like, Xander, who is this? As if she has any claim to him or who he talks to. But then he's like, oh, this is Anya, my ex. And she's like, oh, okay. And then Anya's like talking to Spike. And she's like, don't touch me. He's like, please, I've already forgotten about our time on the pool table.
And, it wasn't a pool table, was it?
It wasn't a pool table.
It was a library table. Yeah.
It was just a normal table. But I'm thinking of Ross and Phoebe from Friends. They hook up on a pool table.
I don't even remember Ross and Phoebe ever hooking up.
They did it before Rachel, like, came in.
Oh, yeah. No, I know what you're talking about now. I do know what you're talking about.
But, Spike's like, I've already forgotten about our time in the magic shop. And Nancy's like, is there anyone here who hasn't slept together? And
Spike and Xander share a meaningful glance.
Which means they have, clearly. And
I agree. I definitely agree. No, I don't.
That's one of the biggest ships in the fandom.
That's so stupid, dude. That's fucking dumb.
It's just one of those things where, like, you know, if two people interact...
Oh, yeah.
People will want them to be together.
Yeah, and everybody, man, people are just dying for things to be gay. There's really...
Understandably so.
Well, I know, listen, I love gay content. I do. But I like actually gay content. I don't like saying, oh, maybe this happened off screen. You know, like, okay, this is being a little literal, but, like, if Spike and Xander had slept together, then it would have come up whenever Xander was fucking chewing her out for sleeping with Spike, yeah. Which was not even his business anyway. Don't even get me started on that again. Yeah, no, I'm not into, like, queerbaity bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
I want to watch, speaking of which, I need to watch, wait, that's not what I meant. I need to watch The Magicians, because that's actual queer content, isn't it?
Yes,
yeah.
Like, no one in that show is straight.
Cool, perfect. And it's explicit, too. Like, it's not like, oh, are they gay? You don't know.
No. The main character is, like, expressly... And the guy who acts as him, his actor, is actually really cool. He's like, he says that Quentin, who's the main character, he says that his sexuality is like the only thing he doesn't have anxiety about.
Wow. I've been meaning to, where can I watch it?
The first two seasons are on Netflix, and the third season is going to be on Netflix next month.
Okay, cool.
It's very good.
I'll definitely have to check that out the next time I get a free second to, breathe or just to, like, go anywhere, do anything that is not to meet some sort of deadline. But I'll take a crack at it when I can, because I've been meaning to watch it. Anyway, so that's why I don't like Spike and Buffy. But anyway, I mean, whoa. Spike and Xander. So,
the jury is still out on Spike and Buffy.
Yes. I wouldn't even... The jury's not even out. The jury's still in the courtroom gathering all the evidence.
Ah.
That's where they're at. Then Spike's all like, I know you turned her ex-boyfriend into a slug-off demon, and everybody's like, what's a slug-off demon? Which is what they do every time. That Spike and Anya are talking about some supernatural knowledge or whatever. And whenever she's, like, Spike's grilling her about the slug-off demon and is being like, change him back, change the wish. That's whenever Anya's like, oh my god, you got it back? Yeah. How'd you get it back? And she starts freaking out, and she's following him, and she's, like, clinging onto him, like, asking him how he did it. And she was like, that's not supposed to be possible.
Yeah, she's like, it shouldn't be possible. What did you do?
Yeah, he obviously went to a cave in Africa and met a guy with blue eyes. Okay?
Duh.
Obviously.
Anya.
But then Spike starts freaking out because she's going to blow his cover, and he punches her. Which is rough. And then Buffy swoops in and starts punching Spike, and he's like, oh, got some personal issues, do we? And I'm like, shut the fuck up, you rapist. Like, yeah, why?
And then he's like, oh, we haven't been this close since, you want to go on the balcony?
What on earth?
And so she's, like, punching him, and, like, he's like, you're right, love, I haven't changed. Whatever. I'm still just as bad as the time you left me. And everyone's like, okay, I mean, that's not true, but, like, what's going on?
He's probably just trying to distract her. Yeah. Maybe, like, from what Anya was saying, and, like, I don't know. It's very rude. Very rude behavior.
Yeah,
zero stars. Rude. Yeah. But then Xander...
Zero stars for Spike.
Xander or somebody is like, hey, Nancy's gone. And so Buffy stops beating Spike up and turns to Xander and is like, get her to reverse the spell. And then Buffy starts chasing Nancy, then Spike starts chasing Buffy, and they're jumping all over rooftops. It's okay. It's pretty good. I love a good rooftop jump. So then Xander is just standing there talking with Anya about, I don't know, like, where she's at right now, I guess. Mm-hmm. Again, people are just kind of ready for this to be over.
I am. Including me.
Yeah, okay. And then Buffy and Spike, they find Nancy. She's cornered and being chased by the worm. And then
she's walking away and she goes, freaks. Why do I always surround myself with freaks? And I'm like, calm down.
Yeah.
Calm down now, Nancy.
Way to go, Nancy. You just met a vengeance demon and turned your boyfriend into a worm. So let's talk about freaks, okay?
Yeah, let's talk about, like, trusting strangers.
Yeah. let's talk about trusting strangers. So then the worm is chasing her, and Buffy, like, saves her or whatever, and then Spike is like, all right, you had your turn, now leave the violence to the demons. And then he grabs a rusty pipe and stabs the worm with it right as the worm turns back into Ronnie the ex-boyfriend.
Which probably fucked Spike up even more than he already was.
I mean, that is what happened. He loses control on his facade that he was trying to do, like, a fake it till you make it type of thing.
Yeah.
And he says, like, the costume, it didn't work. I couldn't hide.
That comes later.
It does,
yeah. That comes in the church.
So then Buffy calls an ambulance, and Spike is panicking and just being wild. As my aunt said while we were watching it, she said, "Yo, this dude's crazy." And I was like, "Yeah, you're telling us. We know. We're very aware." So, yeah,
we've been here the whole time.
Right, I know. But, so he's, like, freaking out, and then he starts saying, "From beneath you, it devours. From beneath you, it devours." And then Buffy's like, "What?"
She's like, he says, like, "This is just..." He basically says, "You think this is from beneath you, it devours. It's not."
Oh, yeah, that is what he said. He said, "This is only just the beginning. This is..." He said, "This worm doesn't even have anything to do with what's coming, and it's older than us, and it's older than anything." He said, "The big bad's back, but it's nothing compared to what's coming," and blah, blah, blah.
And then he says, "From beneath you, it devours. From beneath." And Buffy just kind of stares at him.
Yeah.
She only told
Dawn.
She didn't even tell Dawn.
No, she did. She says it at the very beginning of it. She says,
"From beneath you, it devours?"
Yeah, she says it at the very... It's like the last line of the scene.
So, okay, so she's only told Dawn. There's no way Spike would have known.
Right.
And so she's scared.
And then Spike runs away. Like, like, my favorite part. He turned and just fucking sprints. And, Buffy's like, "Xander, helps on the way. Stay with this guy that Spike just stabbed. You're gonna be okay, Ronnie. You're not a worm anymore." And then she follows.
"You're just an abusive boyfriend.
You're you're just a bastard." And so then she chases Spike down, finds him in a church in the graveyard, and he is just shirtless again.
He comes up behind, she goes into the church and she's like, "Spike?" And then he comes up behind her, he's shirtless, kind of freaks her out, obviously.
Right.
And then he goes, "Didn't work, the costume didn't work," and he throws the blue shirt, like, onto the floor.
Right.
And so this is when you're kind of like, oh, nothing changed, he was just like, yeah, exactly, he was faking it till you make it. And it didn't work. He did not make it.
Yeah.
He didn't make it at all.
I wonder, like, what... I mean, I guess because at the beginning he's being all crazy, and then the earthquake happens that's not Ronnie. It's, like, the actual Hellmouth earthquakes. And I guess that, like, scares him straight, maybe, and he's like, okay, well, I need to go talk to Buffy, but I don't want Buffy to see me like this. I didn't like it when she showed up to my cave last episode.
Yeah.
And so I guess he, like, yeah, I guess from there he's like, okay, well, I want Buffy to see that I'm good now. And I don't know, he's got a lot on his plate right now that we don't even know.
Because I think this scene is one of my favorite scenes in the entire show.
You got a breakdown for me?
Yeah, I'm gonna just read the entire scene.
Go for it.
Just, you know, okay. So, okay, Spike, "Hello, Buffy, what the hell are you?" And then he says, "It didn't work, costume, didn't help, couldn't hide." And she goes, "No more mind games, Spike." And I love this line. He goes, "No more mind games, no more mind." And she says, "Tell me what happened to you." And she reaches out and she touches his chest. And he does not like that. He, like, he freaks out and he goes, hey, no touching. Am I flesh to you? Feed on flesh, my flesh, nothing else, not a spark. And then, so he's like, oh, she's here for sex because that's all she was using me for in the...
Yeah.
In the last...
I had forgotten about this part until you just started talking about it.
Yeah, it's hard to watch. I will say it's not fun to watch this. So he starts unzipping his pants and he goes, "Get it hard, service the girl." And she's obviously not there for sex, so she, like, smacks his hand away and she goes, "Stop it." And then he grabs her by the throat, and then she throws him across the room. And then he goes, right, girl doesn't want to be serviced because there's no spark. Ain't we in a sodden engine? And she says, Spike, have you completely lost your mind? And he says, well, yes, where have you been all night? he suddenly became lucid just to be sassy for 2 seconds. And she goes, you thought you could just come back here and be with me? And he goes, first time for everything. And she says, this is all you get. I'm listening. Tell me what happened. And she goes, he says, first, I tried to find it. Find what? The spark, the missing, the piece, the fit that would make me fit. Because you didn't want, God, I can't, not with you looking. And then he turns away and he goes, I dreamed of killing you. I think they were dreams, so weak. Did you make me weak, thinking of you, holding myself and spilling useless buckets of salt over your ending? Angel, he should have warned me. He makes a good show of forgetting, but it's in here, in me, all the time. The spark. I wanted to give you what you deserve, and I got it. They put the spark in me, and now all it does is burn. And Buffy's... Oh, God.
That's what she realizes whenever he says, Angel should have warned me.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's on Buffy the entire time he said that.
Right.
And Sarah Michelle Gellar and James Marsters were putting in, like, series best performances.
And they make each other better actors. Like, the scenes that they're... And I mean, this is true of anybody, right? Like, when musicians play together, certain people that they play with turn out better work. Yeah. And I think with the way that this show is directed and written and everything, I think that there are certain duos that, like, don't mesh super well, that don't have the same vibe as other duos do. And so I really love I love Buffy and Giles scenes when it's just them two.
Mm-hmm.
I love those. And then the Spike and Buffy scenes are always super. And they have been ever since he was still, like, crazy, and, like, when Drusilla was still a thing and everything, like, they've always just had, I mean, what is that? That's just chemistry. Is that it? Is that all I'm describing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that all this podcast is about?
Chemistry? Yeah, they're incredibly good together. So she just has this look of, like, horror on her face. And she realizes, she finally understands, and she goes, your soul. And he says, bit worse for lack of use. She goes, you got your soul back. How? It's what you wanted, right? And then he looks up, presumably towards God, and he goes, it's what you wanted, right? And now everyone's in here talking. Everything I did, everyone I, and him, and it, and the other, the thing beneath you, it's here too. Everybody. They all just tell me to go to hell. And she goes, why would you do that? And he says, Buffy, shame on you. Why must a man do what he mustn't? For her to be hers, to be the kind of man who would never, to be a kind of man. And then he walks towards the cross at the like head of the chapel, and he goes, she shall look on him with forgiveness, and everyone will forgive and love. He will be loved. And he's looking at the cross, and he goes, so everything's okay, right? And then he kind of drapes himself over the cross, and his skin starts to burn. And he goes, can we rest now? Buffy, can we rest? And it, oh my gosh. And he's, like, burning up, and Buffy is crying. And it's the worst thing in the whole entire world. It's, oh my gosh. Okay, so I want to break some of that down just a little bit.
Hit me with the research.
Because I think this is, I love them together, and a huge part of that is, like, the development that the two of them go through this season.
Right.
I mean, it's so much happens this season. So he says, one thing I kind of want to focus on is he says, I touch, like, they put the spark in me, and now all it does is burn. Fire is a super huge theme, a motif in their relationship.
Uh-huh.
In a lot of it is in Once More with Feeling. A lot of the songs that she sings, she says, "I touch the fire and it freezes me."
Oh, that's right.
Later in the song, she goes, "I want the fire back." And then later in that song, Spike says, "Because she is drawn to the fire, some people never learn." And then the coda, which is the first time they kiss, at the end of that episode, she goes, "I touch the fire and it freezes me. I look into it and it's black. This isn't real, but I just want to feel." And so all of that, and fire.
Doesn't he also have a quote that you really liked, where it's like, it's not, he says, like, love is blood or something like that? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, what's that quote? Love isn't brains, children, it's blood. Blood working inside you to do its will. I may be love's bitch, but at least I'm man enough to admit it. But their relationship is very, like, visceral, and, like, fire, you know, if we're looking at it in a metaphorical, like, literary sense, fire cleanses, but it also burns. It can hurt people, but it can also get rid of,
heal.
Yeah, yeah, it can heal you. A lot of people, farmers use fire to, cleanse their, like, to get rid of
their fields.
Their old crops.
Yes.
To,
clean out the old crops.
To make sure that the field is ready for the new harvest.
Uh-huh.
That kind of thing. So fire, I mean, like, fire is healing, but it also hurts people. And I think that in the scene, so the scene where he's draping himself over the cross, this thing that he is, like, everything in his body, his being, repels him from the cross. He's, like, not, if we're going, you know, with Christian theology or whatever, he's a demon. He's, like, the antithesis of what is good and holy.
Right.
But, so he is, so Buffy, having died and come back, is his salvation, is his Christ figure, in a way. And the image of salvation, the cross, burns him and causes him pain. So salvation, you would think normally would be, like, being saved normally sounds like a good thing, right? Like, being saved, like, from drowning, or being saved, you know, like...
Right, right.
But, you know, in this instance, it's clear that this is not going to be a easy task. Like, saving, salvation, it's not going to be easy. And in the Buffy the Vampire Slayer myth, metaphor, and morality, they were talking about, and two people had two differing sides of this, is that Buffy is his salvation, and whether or not he becomes saved will deal with whether or not she forgives him, right? And moves on. The other person says that's not her job, you know? Him becoming better is not her, like, it's not up to her. Like, sure, she can forgive him and that can aid him, but ultimately, it's his responsibility.
Well, yeah, and it's forward. It's also back to the to what we've been saying since season 4 now, where it's like, does he want to be a better person, and does he, like, regret his past mistakes, and he wants to be a better person so that he can get rid of these feelings and, you know, X, Y, and Z, or does he want to be a better person because of Buffy, and he wants Buffy to like him?
Mm-hmm.
You know, does he want Buffy to forgive him because then he knows that, like, he is capable of change and can do better and be better and be the person that... But, I mean, it's still just all based on, like, her loving him. That's what he says. He's like, why does a man do what he mustn't for her to be hers? And so it's just, that's still the only thing that's motivating him. And so it's just, it's tricky
mm-hmm.
in it.
Yeah, and I think that also plays into their Anya. I think Xander's kind of meaner to Anya in this episode than he should be, but you know what else is new? But,
I did like when he said, when she was like, well, you left me at the altar. And he was like, okay, but that excuse only works for so long. Yeah.
He goes, yeah. He's like, I love the way he said that line delivery. I thought was really good. He goes, yeah. And Anya, at some point, that excuse just stops working.
Yeah.
And it's like, true. I mean, like, there's only so much you cannot take responsibility for yourself.
Yeah.
And for your actions and stuff like that. And so, I think that that kind of pairs into what Buffy and Spike, like, their, like, how their relationship is going to be moving forward. So, I really love that scene a lot. I think it's, like, there's so many... I have a friend, I should have reached out to her. She, that's, like, her favorite scene in, like, anything ever, and she's, like, written papers about it. And stuff like that. Maybe I should. I should reach out to her and see if she has any of this lying around. But,
Let's tweet them.
Yeah. So Joss wrote that scene.
Okay. But not the whole episode?
No. Doug Petrie wrote the whole episode. And
Doug!
I feel like he hasn't done anything to offend us.
No. I'm fine with Doug.
Yeah. So,
Doug's A-okay.
Yes. Jesus is just all right with me. So... Yeah, this, it's not the worm and Nancy, not great, not a huge fan of that, but I do think that there's a lot of moving pieces that they're really doing good things with.
Right.
That I'm, like, really excited to move forward with. Oh, he wrote Fool for Love. Oh, my best friend, Doug Petrie.
He wrote Fool for Love? Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
Oh. Your faves.
My fave. My all-time fave.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So what else do you have on the cross scene?
I mean, that's all I had really.
Like, what does he mean we're in a sodding engine? Is that just fucking, you know, is he just crazy? Is that all? Is it not, I mean, I guess.
This is what, okay, so I'm on GabrielleAbell.livejournal.com. She did a whole, dissertation of that final scene. And she goes, okay, a reference to an engine brings to mind a steam engine or locomotive or something that just moves. Spike feels that they're trapped, not moving. They're stuck in that horrible place they were in season 6. In going to get his soul, Spike thought that that would propel their relationship forward and fix things. Instead, he's found that he's hit a wall, and the soul just makes things even more complicated. He wants to be moving. They're in an engine, after all. He even wants to get something that he thought would fuel the engine, his soul. He's completely unable to figure out why
He thought it was going to, like, purify his intentions and all.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think it just made... Because he mentions that there's, like... I mean, and we can... It's pretty clear. He says... There's people in his head telling him, like, basically, like, being like, you know, remember all these things that you did? Remember, you know, all these people you hurt, all these people you killed?
Yeah, I mean, that's what happened to Angel, too, when he got his soul back. It was like, or, no, when he lost it again, and then he gets it again, or something. It's like when he's talking to Buffy about what it's like to not have a soul, and then he finally get it back. And he said, and after, you know, before I got it back, I had spent 200 years assaulting cities, and stealing, and killing people, and raping women. And he said, when I first got it back, it was so hard, and I had to learn how to, like, be a changed person because of it, and understand that I can't go back, and this and that. So, yeah, I mean, I love that they brought Angel up, too, whenever Spike was like, Angel should have warned me. I always forget they were friends. They had sex.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. You don't know somebody for centuries and just not fuck them, right? Isn't that in the vampire code?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I read a fanfic once that, and Anya was like, Anya says, like, they were vampires, not bigots.
Right. Exactly.
They're
not pretty stupid.
Pretty sure that you would have.
But here's the question. Who topped?
Who tops? Yeah. Well, okay, so the obvious answer is Angel, right? Like, I feel like that's the obvious Angel, and I feel like, but I do feel like Spike has so much anger, and, like, or had so much anger, and, like, felt so, like, because it is, like, canon and stuff that he was basically second fiddle to Angel for like their entire
time. I think Angelus tops, but Angel bottoms.
Okay,
that's my vote.
Do you think that Angelus would let Spike top, or do you think that he would be like, nope?
I don't know the man that well.
You haven't spoken to him.
No,
in a while.
I haven't. I haven't seen him in a while. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that. Oh, gee, I don't know. I mean, I'd like to think. I think that Spike. You know what? You know what I think? I think that Spike probably tried a bunch, and Angelus was probably like, nope, and probably beat him up a bunch.
Couldn't handle it. It's a lot of pressure.
That's
a
what
lot
I think.
Of pressure to be in charge of that kind of situation. Anyway, so he fucking burns on the cross, and we'll learn more next episode. I'm excited. Doing a good job in the aftermath of season 6. They're doing a great job, and there's so much that like feels so familiar, and they're really bringing the whole cycle home, and you know, the themes and motifs that you were talking about, it's all on board. It's all here, folks. And so for that reason, I'll give this episode an 8, because there was a lot that I liked about it, a lot of dialogue that I liked, a lot of plot points that I'm definitely wanting more of. However, there was also a lot that I didn't care about. I didn't need this whole flirtatious vibe between Xander and Nancy. You know?
Who cares?
Right? And it's like, just do something creative with it. Like, they don't have to hit on each other, you know? And if they do hit on each other, it can be in a less, like, stereotypical fucking cookie-cutter way. So.
Yeah.
So that's my critique. And I'm done. What do you rate it?
Just your onions.
My onion.
I think it deserves an 8, but I'm gonna give it a 9 because of that last scene. Mm.
Okay.
I think that last scene propels it
forward. So, up a point. Up a point.
Yeah. For
Man,
sure.
I want more scenes like that. I like Crazy Spike. Dude. He's so Drusilla, you know?
Mm-hmm. I like that. I like when the show goes above and beyond what people expect of
it. Yeah.
And I see people, like, not us, the viewers, because, like, I'm like, I mean, like, obviously, yeah, this is, like, peak prime Buffy. It's so good and poetic and literary and, like, interesting. But, like, you know, if I were to show that scene to someone who had never seen the show before, they would be like, this doesn't seem like what I've heard of Buffy. And, like, this doesn't seem like, you know, the teen romance drama vampire thing. I'm like, no, that's because it's good.
Yeah.
So, I love that. I just love that scene, and I love that they put it in and they just let it be. They just let you sit with it. It's so
I think it was a smart move being the last scene of the episode as well. To being like, anyway, now that all that's over with, this is what it was actually about, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I love the, like, can we rest, Buffy? Can we rest? And the question never gets answered.
Yeah. Yep.
It's
gonna be good.
They're doing
a great job. All right.
Yeah. So, super excited for the rest of the season.
Yep, and we'll learn more next week. Until then, you can follow us on Twitter at Buffy_speak. You can also email us at buffyspeak@gmail.com. Is that correct? Okay.
Yeah, it is.
The email's also in the bio. We did get an email, and it was fucking awesome. We want more. Send us more emails. We love them.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk to you then. That's that.
Yes. All right.
Bye, everybody.